Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me talking the game. Michigan, Ohio State, both undefeated, both in the top three. Feels like it happens more now because it happened last year and in 2016, but a rare game where both teams enter this matchup with true national title aspirations or implications in this matchup. Certainly should be a very fun atmosphere down in Columbus. Myself and Alejandro will be down there providing coverage over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan247Sports.com, and really the whole team. It's all hands on deck this week, providing preview coverage, talking about the implications of this game, things to watch for. And so this podcast, we're going to look at keys for the offense, keys for the defense, a couple prop bet predictions here and there, and then our overall score predictions for the game. Steve, I'll let you get started. Offensively, we don't know Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards' status. I think an educated guess is that it won't just be CJ Stokes, but you don't know who's healthy or how healthy they are, even if they do play. What's the biggest key for Michigan's offense in this matchup?
I think it's got to be the health of those guys, I think. I mean, going to beat a dead horse here, but, you know, running the football has always been key in this game. No disrespect to CJ Stokes, but I don't think he provides Michigan with nearly the potential production there that either Corum and or Edwards do. So I think for Michigan to go on the road in particular and win this game, I think it's paramount that they get something from one or both of Corum and Edwards. I mean, I have a hard time talking myself into Michigan winning this game if those guys aren't consistently contributing throughout four quarters. I think it's pretty simple in that regard. I think they need one or both of those guys to be ready to go, I think we're definitely going to see CJ Stokes. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, you know, if at the end of four quarters, he's the guy with the most carries for Michigan, either he had a major breakout game or Michigan, in my opinion, would have lost. So, I think it's pretty cut and dry what's key for them offensively. I think the other thing too, though, is, well, getting back to like sort of health, is I think having Luke Schoonmaker back in the lineup will be huge for Michigan too. It's that potential intermediate passing safety valve stuff that, you know, he became super, super reliable after Eric All initially went down. Colson Loveland is getting there, and he's getting there really, really quickly. But I think having Schoonmaker back, always, we know how much Michigan likes to use the tight end. So having as many options at that position as you can have, it would be a huge help for Michigan in this one.
Yeah, the line is sometimes the best ability is availability. And I think that's true. I mean, I think that's a very fair way to look at things. I do think no matter how healthy they are at running back, this has to be a game where Michigan pushes the ball through the air more than they have in weeks, maybe even months. Because Ohio State, to their credit, I think they've improved a lot at linebacker, getting downhill, stopping runs. I think their edge rushers are not just pass rushing specialists like maybe they kind of were last season. They're guys who can really, set the edge, shed blocks, make tackles in the run game. And I think on the inside, I think they've got some legit run stoppers. Where I think Ohio State's defense gets a little bit more questionable is at cornerback. I don't think that they have I don't know necessarily, but I don't think any of their cornerbacks are of the all Big Ten. I don't think NFL scouts are, not this year at least, kind of keeping an eye on some of those defensive backs and saying, oh, that might be a first rounder. You know, for a long time, they seemed like every year had two cornerbacks or two safeties or two defensive backs in total that would go in the top 50 in the draft the very next year. I don't know that this group is quite that good. And I think the two teams who have, quote unquote, given Ohio State a scare, Maryland, Penn State, they both threw for more than 300 yards. You know, Wisconsin is a team that had success running the ball against Ohio State, 192 yards, two touchdowns, 5.3 yards per carry, but they weren't in that game. I think if you actually want to string together three, four, maybe even five scoring drives against Ohio State, which I think you kind of have to have a chance of beating them, I think a lot of it has to be done through the air, no matter how healthy you are at running back. And obviously, if they're not, if Michigan's not fully healthy at running back, that's even more important. And I kind of mentioned it in the podcast on Sunday. You want to take every open pass you can get, but it does feel like if Michigan's trying to maximize what they can do throwing the ball, feel like it has to be a little bit more of a short range passing game. I mean, the completion percentage simply has not been there for Michigan on passes 20 yards or more downfield. And really since the bye week, or since I guess the fall got cold is maybe how I'd put it, really the last 4 or 5 weeks hasn't been there on passes 10 yards or more downfield. I don't think you want to completely abandon that part of the game, but I think if you're in a situation where you might not have everything you normally have from the running back room, I think this is a game where you are going to have to pick up some of those small gains or medium gains, I guess, in the passing game. It doesn't have to be a 15-yard gain every time you throw the ball. It can be 7 yards here, 4 yards there, 8 yards here. I think that's really important, not just for Michigan to have a balanced offense, keep Ohio State's defense guessing, but also to attack Ohio State where they're the most susceptible. Yeah, you know, I do the by the numbers thing every week. Last year, I remember pointing out in that story, Ohio State is not as good as they should be stopping the run. This year, I did not come to that same conclusion. I do think they're untested, but I don't know that it's going to be like last year where they can get exposed in a major, major way stopping the run. If they get exposed on Saturday, it's probably going to be through the air. So, Steve,
are you advocating for a pass to set up the run game plan for Michigan?
Maybe. I mean, you got to throw it more than you've been throwing it.
Guess it also, it does all go back to the healthier running backs, but yeah, it may make life a little bit easier for them if you can, you know. And the one other thing, too, to that point, about through the stuff through the air. And I don't know if we really talked much about this year, but you know, it felt like last year with McNamara, it did feel like he played better. And I don't know, not all quarterbacks are like this. Maybe McCarthy's not, but you know, there's that idea of getting the guy into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has not really designed a game plan, in my opinion, so far that really works McCarthy into a rhythm. It's run, run, run. Then you start to kind of mix in some passes. You know, it's never really felt like, you know, that they've really made a concerted effort to potentially get him into that quote rhythm early on. So, you know, maybe this would be the game to do it because it would help open things up, you know, and you got to think Ohio State's expecting run heavy. I mean, that if you're Ohio State, you'll want that.
Yeah.
You maybe don't want that eighth guy in the box, but you want that eighth guy eyeing the box. So even with their, if they're not, you know, if their corners haven't been as good this year as they normally, I mean, normally corners one of their strengths. But yeah, I mean, it's just could be a situation where we maybe do see a little bit of pass to set up the run. I'm still convinced. I do think they take a deep shot early and try to, I don't know, make a big splash. Maybe not in the first drive, but I think very early in the game, I think they're going to try to take a deep shot off play action. So,
yeah. Well, and the play action is another thing that I think if Michigan wants to win, I think they have to show that more. I know it loses a little bit of its effect if you don't have a fully healthy Blake Corum or don't have a fully healthy Donovan Edwards out there, but I think Michigan's been money on play action all year. And I personally think Michigan could have scored 50, 60 more points over the last 11 games just by doing more play action. And they never had a need to, really. I mean, Illinois was really the only time, and that obviously was not really a time for play action. But I think ultimately it's probably the most unlocked potential in Michigan's offense. The other thing I was thinking about, and I think they might have to go into this by default, is that, you know, if J.J. McCarthy really runs a 4.5 or a 4.6, and we've seen him as a ball carrier, that number would not stun me. Feel like this is a game where he can make up for a lack of full strength in Michigan's running backs room by being involved carrying the ball a little bit more. You don't want to go crazy with it, because if you thought the running back room became inexperienced in a hurry, I think the quarterback room is even more so the case. So, you know, you don't want McCarthy running constantly. I think 20 carries might be too many, but I think there are opportunities to pick up first downs, pick up some chunk yardage here and there with some well-designed option plays for McCarthy to keep the ball and move down.
What about AJ Henning too? If he's, you know,
yeah, provided he's healthy. He scored against Ohio State last year.
Right. Do we say Michigan does have a couple, I don't want to like, they say like safeguards in place to be able to ease the pressure off of Corum and or Edwards, you know, I'd be shocked if one or both don't at least give it a try. I mean,
we would have heard that by now,
right? The fact that Corum came out and even ran the ball in the second half to me means there's got to be a chance that he's able to make a go of it. You know,
I hate speculating on injuries, so I'm going to keep it brief, but sure, he wasn't in a brace. He wasn't in a boot literally the very next day walking around when he was giving out turkeys and milk to families in need in Ypsilanti. So
yep.
You never know. Not a promise, but I tend to think if it was a knee injury that would be 5-6 weeks, there would have been something put in place to aid his mobility the day after the injury happened.
Yeah, I agree.
So again, I hate that, because then people say, well, you said this.
No, we're not saying he's going to play or not. It's just, I'd be surprised. And it's not based on fact. It's sort of intuition.
And that's not be surprised if he played less than 30 snaps. That's just right. Surprised right. That he wouldn't give it a go or try.
Yes, exactly. So,
I do think the game plan will be different because of the injuries. Like, I don't think Michigan's going in like, there's nothing. This is all smoke. Clearly, Michigan has endured a dent in its running game. I think the question just is, yeah, how healthy will they be versus, what they are at full steam. Steve, anything else you want to see or keys for Michigan's offense?
Not really. I mean, you know, this comes down to the trenches. You know, you got to be mindful of JTT. I just call him JTT. Got to be mindful of him. I think I wrote the other day, he's better individually than any player Ohio State had defensively last year. You could argue he single-handedly won the Penn State game for them. I mean, if not for like two or three huge plays that he made in the second half and particularly in the fourth quarter, that game could have turned out a little bit differently. So, you know, he's a beast. Zach Harrison feels like he can be at times and isn't at other times, you know? So, I mean, if both those guys are playing at a high level, you know, Michigan's tackles are going to, and their tight ends, I assume, will have their handful. So, I think neutralizing those guys, and that's another reason why I do think running McCarthy in this game makes a little bit of sense, you know, because I think that push and pull, forcing those guys to not just pin their ears back and you know, hit the edge on every play, you know, making them have to account for what McCarthy's going to do a little bit may actually relieve them when it comes time to throw the ball. So, you know, that's another thing I think maybe, you know, lends itself to, and I think we've all expected to see a little more McCarthy on Saturday running the football, you know, but I think that's even another reason why, because these are probably the, it's probably the best pair of edges Michigan has faced all. I mean, no, it is. It's not probably, it is the best pair of edges that Michigan has faced all season.
I can agree with that. Iowa's got, I mean, Van Ness is pretty darn good, but in terms of a true snap-to-snap challenge, the length, the athleticism, and I think just the general play of JTT and Zach Harrison and Jack Sawyer, too, I think are pretty notable. On that note, I think the one other thing I would say, and it might end up being one of my keys in my four keys in a pick story, I do think this game is going to be decided at least somewhat by which team runs out of gas in the trenches sooner. I don't know that Michigan has the on-paper advantage in this matchup in the trenches, but I do think both of these teams are not used to playing four quarters. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity for Michigan. If they, kind of like last year, right? It was close. It was tense. It was really back and forth. And then Michigan started to just mow Ohio State down. And we've seen in previous years, I think 2019, 2017, and 2015 kind of really jump out as years where Ohio State didn't torch Michigan from the jump, but wore them out over the course of 60 minutes. So I think that's always just a huge key in this game, because I think for most of the season, these teams kind of get to take their foot off the gas a little bit midway through the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. Both of them got tested in this last week, I suppose. But if you look at their schedules beforehand, I mean, this is going to be the most physical fourth quarter these players have played all season, I would think. So I think that's another one. All right, let's get to these prop bets to close out our discussion on the offense. This one, I think it's tough to tell. I mean, we're just kind of taking a shot in the dark here. Michigan running backs have 39.5 more rushing yards than Ohio State running backs. Ohio State, we'll talk about it in the other side of this commercial, but they also have Travion Henderson does not look fully healthy. Mayan Williams hasn't played in a couple weeks. Dallin Hayden looks pretty good. But Michigan running backs, 39.5 more rushing yards than Ohio State running backs. Steve, I think I'm taking the under on this one. Again, we're not hiding. It's not like we know and we're just not showing our hand. I mean, there's true ambiguity. I don't even know if Michigan fully knows who's suiting up for them and how healthy they'll feel Saturday morning. But I'm kind of taking the under. I'm with you. I ended up watching the Ohio State-Maryland game. Dallin Hayden looks pretty impressive. I don't think that he's, you know, Michigan or Ohio State's next first round draft pick running back, but he gets the job done. Seems like he has strength and can be slippery at times. So I'm taking Ohio State, or not Ohio State to have more, but Michigan running backs 39.5 more rushing yards than Ohio State. I am taking the under on that one. How about you?
I took the over. It's a risky over, but Michigan's just commitment to running the football is kind of where I'm leaning with this one. And nobody's fully slowed them down yet. You know, you could argue Illinois only did after Corum went out. I mean, how many yards? Corum had over 100 yards right in the first half on Saturday. I don't know.
Yeah, I think in terms of run defense, I think Indiana held them to 161, but that was it.
You know, yeah, I agree that I just assume Ohio State is better equipped to slow down the run this year, but I totally agree that, and it's no fault of theirs necessarily, but they just, I don't think they've seen, you know, what Michigan kind of brings to the table. So, leaning half, or I'll say leaning 60% on Michigan's just devotion and commitment to running the football, and 40% on kind of what I said earlier is that I think Corum and or Edwards will both try to give it a go and possibly be effective. So I'll say over, not necessarily by much though. This is one, cause I'm with you all the way. Just based on I've watched a lot of Ohio State this year. And I mean, I would, if I'm Ohio State, it's, to me, it's a little bit different than the situation Michigan faces with Stokes versus compromised Corum and Edwards. If I'm Ohio State, and Henderson and Williams aren't a full go, then Dallin Hayden's the guy that I'd be giving the football to. I mean, he looks like a guy that can carry the load and be effective for them. And I wrote earlier this week, I think there is a little bit, it's a little bit of a steeper drop off for Michigan from Corman Edwards to Stokes than it is from Henderson and Williams to Hayden. So, you know, a little more pressure on Michigan's backs, I think, to be ready.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Next one, 12.5 passing attempts of 10 yards or more downfield. So I'm assuming this is an air yards stat. So the Pro Football Focus tracks these 12.5 attempts greater than 10 yards for JJ McCarthy. I am taking the under. I think he is averaging about 8 per game this season. Granted, those have been a lot of games that aren't that close. That just feels like a high number, 13. I mean, there are games where it seemed like he didn't even attempt 13 passes, let alone true ones downfield. But this is an area where Ohio State is susceptible. I think Penn State and Maryland had pretty good success in that realm. So 12.5 pass attempts of 10 yards or more downfield for JJ McCarthy. Steve, what do you say?
Yeah, I said under. Yeah, there might be more of an emphasis on it, but that's definitely a I'll believe it when I see it type number. I think it's possible, but not one I would put, you know, any money on or any stock on in that one. So under until we see it.
Okay, last one, 69.5 receiving yards from all Michigan tight ends. I think Michigan has to like its chances of winning if the over hits on this. I don't know. That's right in the wheelhouse. I'd probably guess like a 50 or 60. So I'm going to take the under. I do think that this will be a pretty significant sign of one, did Michigan have the right game plan against Ohio State? And two, did that game plan work? I mean, Michigan's passing game has not been efficient the past few weeks. And I do think a lack of tight end utilization is at least a part of why. I think, you know, everyone talks about the receivers dropping passes or not creating enough separation. Felt like early in the season, tight ends were constantly open against for the Wolverines. And that was a very good way for Michigan to produce throwing the ball at a high percentage clip without necessarily having it to be a difficult play. So I think this is if the over hits on this, I think that's a good sign for Michigan, but I'm taking the under. Just feels like a high number to predict, not knowing Luke Schoonmaker's health and also not knowing what kind of approach Michigan's going to take throwing the ball.
So I took the over on this one. I think it's going to be a heavy dose of tight end because Michigan's going to want to show that it looks like they're going to be running the football, you know? So I think it could be a situation where we see a healthy amount of the play action maybe end up in the tight end's hands. It's clear now Michigan, and actually, and I don't know if they even, do they track targets? Because
I can get you some target numbers if you.
Because I'd have to think that Colston Loveland led Michigan in targets against Illinois on Saturday.
It was Ronnie Bell. He had 8.
Was it?
Loveland had 6.
Okay. All right. Well, there were, yeah. But it's clear that McCarthy's very comfortable throwing him the football also. So, you know, I think we could see a situation between, because I suspect Schoonmaker is going to play. That's one of the guys that have been banged up a little bit. I think he's one that they've basically, I think it feels like it's been more precautionary than it has like a serious situation. So between him and Loveland, I think they can get there. And I am predicting that they will.
Okay, we're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll talk about defensive keys and our final prediction for this game. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
On May 23rd,
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves, demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for waiting. Steve, I just did the scouting report for Ohio State, you know, where I was kind of breaking down the offensive numbers, the personnel. I think this offense is a lot less jaw-dropping than it was last season. You know, I think that Ohio State's defense has improved a lot. I still think Ohio State's offense is fantastic, but the numbers are not like, it's not like they're like five deep on elusive, amazing wide receivers who will torch any defense in the country. They're throwing for fewer yards. I mean, I think I added it up that they've only thrown for 300 yards against three Power Five teams this year. Last year at this point, it was 8. And the passer efficiency is down a little bit as well, at least against Power Five opponents. So what's the biggest key for you for this Michigan defense in this contest? I think the big one, obviously, is getting pressure on C.J. Stroud. Is that the one you're sticking with, or do you see something else in this Ohio State offense that Michigan's defense needs to capitalize on?
It's still slow down the run. It just makes such a difference in this game. Now, granted, you know, I mentioned Stroud threw for almost 400 yards last year. No, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no turnovers. But on 49 attempts, I mean, that's only what, almost 8 yards an attempt. That's not what Ohio State, I think, is used to. So while the statistics were solid, they weren't bad. It wasn't like an elite game necessarily, you know, and it's just, I just think to cut the head off the dragon for that offense, I think it comes down to slowing down the running game, because once they can exploit you in the middle and run the football, it's just always opened things up for their skill position guys on the outside. And like Stroud really reminds me a lot of Dwayne Haskins as a guy, doesn't run the ball much, you know, not really a threat to run, is terrible under pressure, but will absolutely pick you apart if given the time. So yes, getting pressure on Stroud could change the game, you know. And I think one difference this year, because Michigan did get a decent amount, they got decent amount of pressure on him last year. You know, Hutchinson had the 3 sacks. Ojabo had the big one, obviously. But, you know, I think getting a turnover out of that, at least one, I think is pretty important as far, you know, in a road game like this. So, you know, it's kind of a combo. My thought is that if Ohio State runs the ball successfully, it's going to make it a lot harder for Michigan to put pressure on Stroud. So, you know, and I think, I mean, I guess I'm kind of talking myself into the pressure part maybe being more important, because the one game between these two teams where Ohio State didn't really have to run the ball super successfully was 18, when Haskins had, what, 6 touchdown passes, I think. So, you know, it's to me, it's just a combo of that. I just think whatever Michigan can do this to slow down the run game, you rely on your front 7. That way you can limit the big play. You know, one thing we know, Michigan's an excellent tackling team, or they have been all year. So give your defensive backs an opportunity to wrap up quickly after Stroud, you know, completes a pass, or you know, just keep everything underneath. And they're going to have a much better chance of doing that if they're not having to bite on Ohio State running the football.
Yeah, I think pressure is important. The one thing about pressure, though, is I don't think, from what we've seen from Michigan, and I think Ohio State's pass protection is better this season than it was last season too, I don't know that you can just say pressure Stroud 40% of the time. Like, I just don't know if that's realistic. I think that might be more of a take advantage when you do provide pressure and force incompletions, get a sack over. I'm kind of with you. I think, you know, Ohio State, according to the stats I saw, they've only allowed 7 sacks all season. So it's not like you can sit here and expect Michigan to get 4 again or something like that. So I think if you're thinking about what Michigan's good at, and what the opportunities are this season. I think it is stopping the run. I think it's forcing 2nd and 8 instead of 2nd and 4, 3rd and 9 instead of 3rd and 3. I think, you know, stopping the run when you can. I think they have to be better at tackling in the run than they were last week. Last week, they had 8 missed tackles in the run. You know, we talk about, I do think they are possibly the best tackling team in the country, but I think it did not show last week. And I do think Ohio State's running backs, again, don't know what the carry distribution is going to be, but they don't go down easily. You know, I don't think this is a group that isn't going to break some tackles. So I think it's very important that Michigan not only brings down the run game, but does so on the first try. I also think this is a run game that strikes to me as able to get around the corner if needed. So I think setting and maintaining the edge, and I think just like keeping the running backs kind of in front of the defensive structure, I suppose. You know, if it's a 5-yard gain, fine, but it should be within the construct of the defense. Like Junior Colson's got to be there to stop him at the 5 yards downfield. It can't be. I think once there's a jailbreak, I do think this is an Ohio State run game that can make things happen in the open field. So I think that's something that's a big key. I think the other key that something I wanted to ask you about is Ohio State's wide receivers. Assuming Jackson Smith and Jigba doesn't play, don't know what's going on there. Only has 8 targets all year, only has 3 catches all year, so not really sure what that situation is. But they still lost Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. They're still very talented at wide receiver. I mean, it's very funny to say, oh, they lost this person, this person, this person. Egbuka was a top 10 recruit. Julian Fleming was number 3 overall recruit. Marvin Harrison, I mean, I think the NFL would take him in the first round right now. So extremely talented at wide receiver, but I don't think that it's the same kind of ankle breaking, difficult to bring down kind of talent as it was last season. I think their drop rate is better. I think they're getting more first downs. I think they're a little bit more reliable as pass catchers, but some of the yards after catch stats, some of the missed tackles force stats seem significantly lower this year than last year. Steve, what do you see from this passing game? You know Ohio State's going to throw the ball and try to throw the ball quite a bit, but I feel like Michigan's at secondary is a little bit more athletic. I think Ohio State's receivers are still extremely talented, so I say this relatively, but slightly more human, I suppose, than a season ago. Still probably the best passing attack in the country when the pocket's clean. But what do you see from the secondary in this matchup, knowing what you've seen from Michigan's secondary this season and having seen what you've seen from the Buckeyes' pass game?
Yeah, I think it's quite a testament to their recruiting at the position when, you know, I don't think there's no way they're better at receiver than they were last year. I mean, both Olave and Wilson have walked into the NFL and been immediate big time contributors, right? I mean, they're studs. And Smith and Jigba might have been better than both of them. I mean, some of the numbers he put up last year were just like I'd almost argue beyond video game, like what he did against Utah in the Rose Bowl. I don't care who you're playing against. Like those are numbers that are like just mind blowing, but I'd still argue they probably have the best receiver room in the country right now, or it's definitely one of the 2 or 3 best.
In terms of a top 3 pass catchers, it probably is number 1.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? I mean, USC is pretty darn good right
sure.
now, but
just still. Insane though, to kind of like that's impressive no matter how you cut it. I mean, it's impressive, but yes, this unit does feel, yeah, a little more human is a great way to put it, because they still are excellent. They can still make big plays, but they do feel a little more stoppable than last year. I mean, because you're talking, I mean, pick your poison last year, like I said. And really what was interesting is 3 totally different types of receivers too. I think Michigan's defensive backfield can succeed in this game for sure. And it's all relative. Again, they're going to get theirs. Ohio State is going to throw the ball. They're going to move the ball down the field through the air. I mean, it's a near certainty. You know, I'd be shocked if Stroud doesn't end up having at least a decent game statistically. But yeah, I mean, this when we talk about Michigan tackling so well, and especially in the defensive backfield, you know, I do think, yeah, these guys feel a little more tackleable, I guess. Harrison's just his hand. He's got the best hands in the country.
So just for context, so people understand what we're talking about. Last year, Ohio State's pass catchers collectively broke 68 tackles. This year, it's 28. Now, that's with two more games last season. But you can still, I mean, the missed tackle forced rate.
Yeah, they're not putting
– Pro Football Focus is not – it's not quite as unstoppable as it was last season.
Right. So – the onus is on Michigan to kind of maybe keep that trend going. And, you know, by wrapping up and tackling. So, yeah, like I said, if he gets time, it's going to be methodical. It's going to be something Michigan fans have seen before, you know, and it might not be very pretty, you know, but yeah, there seems like there's more opportunities for Michigan to slow the passing game down compared to years. I mean, you think about over the years, just some of the different, like a Paris, like Ohio State does not have a Paris Campbell on their roster right now, right? They don't have a Ted Ginn. They don't have a Curtis Samuel. You know, it again, elite guys. Harrison, yeah, I totally agree. He'd be a pro right now if he was eligible, for sure. I mean, some of the catches he's made have been insane. You know, he's in that
tier. No drops either. I mean, it's just insane.
No, he's in that tier with Olave and Wilson and Smith and Jigba for sure. I mean, he's right there. He'd be right there with those guys. But I don't know about Egbuka and Fleming in particular. Like, those guys aren't at the same level as those four guys are. So, you know, just by sheer production and talent and just what we've seen alone, you know, Michigan better shot to at least limit, you know, to an extent. What Ohio State can do through the air.
All right, let's run through some of these prop bets on that. C.J. Stroud throws for 279.5 yards. This feels like an over. I mean, he threw for 394 last season, and I think that will continue this year. It might not be quite as much. I don't know if I would take the over on a 350, but I think 280 – I think he gets there. It just feels like it's a staple of Ohio State's offense. And really, it's still something that they're extremely good at, even with all of our talk about last year's group being a little bit deeper, a little bit more explosive. This year's group's still really good. I'm taking the over on 280 or 279.5 passing yards for CJ Stroud. How about you?
Yeah, I took the over as well. Hard not to bring this into the conversation, but provided the weather is throwable. Yeah, I don't see Ohio State under that number. I'll tell you what, I mean, I don't know if you agree or not. If they're under that number, then I got to think Michigan feels pretty good about their chances, right? I mean,
probably. I mean,
and unless their running game goes wild, you know, I just, if they're under that number, I just have a hard time thinking Michigan's not maybe coming out of there with a win, honestly.
As far as the weather, I see a high of 52 and 70% chance of rain, but I guess I don't know when or how heavy of a rain that will be. All right, next one. Ohio State's leading running back gains 99.5 rushing yards. If Henderson and Williams are out, I feel like this is an over. It might not be the most efficient, but I mean, Hayden's capable of running for 100 yards on Michigan with, you know, 20 to 25 carries. But so far this season, when they've had two guys available, it's been a little bit more by committee. I don't think that they've had a guy run for 200 yards in a game or anything like that. So I'm kind of leaning the under. Man, I hate this. These running back ones. We just talked about it in the offensive side. It's just tough to predict, which is a bummer, right? Because I'm sure these players spent all year prepping kind of for this game, and you know, if they might know, but for there to be uncertainty or to see both teams in a game this meaningful talking about key players being injured, it's a little bit of a bummer. So we'll see who's healthy on. Steve, Ohio State leading rusher, 99.5 rushing yards. Does anyone get to 100 yards on the Wolverines? Very good run defense. I think they've only allowed one 100-yard rusher all season. That was Chase Brown. They might have allowed someone else. I might double check that, but still, does anyone get to 100 in this game for Ohio State?
I don't think so. I think that either one of their two guys will try to give it a try also, which may spread the ball a little bit.
That was kind of my line.
Right. No, that's where it's difficult to really answer this one because, you know, you're by saying over, you're almost assuming that it's Hayden and only Hayden. So I'm going to say the under, though. I'm just going to kind of make the safe bet and think that if one or both of those guys will at least, same thing as Michigan, will attempt to give it a go.
All right, last one. Michigan defense allows 1.5 plays of 40 or more yards. Ohio State seems to get a few of these. I don't know what the numbers say, but it does feel like big plays are a staple of Ohio State's victories over Michigan over the past 20 years. Feels like that's a very common occurrence, and for good reason. I mean, they recruit really talented players, guys who are really fast, who can get, they have a quarterback who can throw over the top of the defense. I think I'm going to take the under. 40 is tough because I feel like 20 to 35 yard plays can happen consistently. 40, it does kind of have to be a fluke play, but I think Ohio State gets two of these plays. I don't know that is the end of the world for Michigan, but I do think that their offense is that capable of generating a big play. What do you think?
Pretty much over for the exact same reason. I mean, they're explosive enough. You know, that they're able to scheme a lot of busts. I mean, I remember, I think Egbuka against Michigan State. I mean, if you go back and watch the play, I think he scored like a 70-yard touchdown. I don't think there was a defender within 30 yards of him. Just like, I know Michigan State, terrible pass defense, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, their combination of scheme and talent and athleticism on offense is it's tough to slow them down for four quarters, you know? And so at home with the motivation, I think they break a couple of big plays in this game. So I took the over.
Your final thoughts on this matchup and your score prediction for Saturday.
I think the line's a little bit too big. I think Michigan's closer to Ohio State than the line suggests, even on the road. You know, this one, a lot more than last year, have gone back and forth. You know, I think the Corum injury just really casts some doubt on this one, just for Michigan's ability to run the ball consistently. You think about how many – he's a fall forward kind of guy like Haskins was last year. You know, yeah, those second and sixes turn into second and four, second and three. And I just, over a four quarter, if he's not able to go all the way, you know, like, I think Michigan's going to lose some of that over a four quarter thing on the road. I don't know. I think I'm picking Ohio State. I think just a little bit too much. I think it's a competitive game all the way through, though. And I think Notre Dame's going to beat USC, by the way, but that's a whole different thing. But I don't think this ends Michigan's playoff run, though. I think they still get in after this. I think TCU is still going to fall. USC still has Notre Dame, and then I believe it'd be Oregon if they go to the Pac. If I think that's already set.
Most likely, yeah. There's a scenario where it could be Washington, but
okay. Well,
probably Oregon.
Washington's playing good football now too, but I actually think Notre Dame knocks off USC. Notre Dame looks. That's the other thing, is like, Notre Dame's not the same Notre Dame team that played Ohio State at the beginning of the year. That win looks good for Ohio State now, but I don't know. If you've watched Notre Dame, they look totally different than they did. So, I'm going to Ohio State 34-31. I think they do just enough. And I just haven't seen enough out of Michigan's passing game to think that they can sort of push and pull Ohio State's defense for four quarters and outscore them.
Okay. One more key I didn't mention, because it really isn't one side of the ball specific, although I did mention the 60 minutes, not running out of gas. I am curious to see how Michigan does in this road atmosphere. I don't think, other than Brad Robbins and Ronnie Bell, I don't think that there's a player on Michigan's team that played in Columbus back in 2018, which is kind of, I mean, the pandemic is the main reason why, but yeah, it's been a while. And I think Michigan's veteran players will be okay, because they played at Ohio State, or Penn State, excuse me. They played at Nebraska. They played at Wisconsin. They played at Michigan State last year. But I think the first-year contributors might be in for a little bit of a surprise. I mean, Iowa's a pretty decent home atmosphere, but I've been to both multiple times. Ohio State is a different level. That is something that I'll be watching on the offensive line. I think that is something that I'll be watching really from the entire offense and also the defense when it can one bad feel like two or three. You know, how do you make sure that the gravity of each mistake or up and down in the game doesn't become too big? I think Ryan Day had a great quote today. He said, "You want to play with emotion, but you don't want the emotions to play you." And I think that's going to be something that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Ultimately, I think Michigan needed to be all hands on deck, perfect, full strength to pull off this upset in Columbus. And I don't think that I'm not getting the impression that they will be. If we find out, you know, I'm not going to do my official four keys and a pick until Friday. If we find out by then that they will be, I might have to reassess things. But right now I've got Ohio State 35, Michigan 27. I think both teams have better defenses this year, but I think the injuries on offense for Michigan are too significant. I mean, I would argue that losing Blake Corum would be like Ohio State losing CJ Stroud in terms of game impact.
One other thing that a name that hasn't been mentioned that I think it'd be remiss to not mention him is Mike Morris ready to go too? I think you could argue last week we maybe
he
saw
dressed
why
just like
Michigan,
Schoonmaker, right?
Right, but, right. I mean, I think Michigan felt like they could get by, and I know they barely did, but without pushing a couple of those guys. But I also think, you know, we may have learned how important he is for Michigan defensively.
Yeah.
Last week, you know, as a guy that can get to the quarterback more consistently or draw enough attention to make it easier for other guys to get there. You know, I mean, how many sacks does he have this year? I mean, he's up to either way.
Yeah, he's near the top of the Big Ten. Yeah.
He's been their most effective pass rusher as far as getting home and getting to the quarterback. So, you know, yeah, I'd be totally remiss to not mention his potential and possibly likely return as being a potential key in this game for Michigan too.
Yeah, I can agree with that. That's a significant one. All right, so you have 34-31, I have 35-27, but I think we both predicted Ohio State to win last season and we were wrong. So that just, I guess we'll see. That's why they play the games. And one thing that's just very, that isn't lost on me is that both of these teams are very much in the national title picture. This is not just a showcase of good teams that hate each other. I mean, this is a true, maybe national game of the year. I was telling people, I think more than 15 million people will watch this game. I mean, that's more than the World Series. That's more than the Final Four. That's more than the NBA Finals. It's more than the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this is going to be about as big as of a regular season game as you'll see in any sport ever. So very cool. Very excited to be down there. Very excited to keep covering it over to MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. Lots of stories from all of us as we cover the biggest game for the Wolverines this season. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you after the game.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.